Tell me when. Wait, was it going then?
Hey friends,
welcome to Inside Out Growth Podcast,
hosted by me, Molly,
and me, Paris.
From fitness to friendships
and self-love to studies,
we're here as your friends. So chill out
and relax
whilst we help you to grow on the inside
to glow on the outside.
Hello and welcome back to Inside Out Growth. I'm so happy to be back. It is just Paris here today. Molly is currently enjoying post-grad life, finished uni, and she has got a very, very exciting announcement coming very soon. So defo stay posted for that. So for everyone listening, I just want to say a huge thank you for kind of still following along with our journey, still listening and still making the effort to kind of engage with us. Obviously, it's been a huge summer so far, and this is one of the things that I love doing most. And I just couldn't be more excited to get going again and get started. At the same time, I don't want to put any content or podcast episodes out that I'm not proud of, or I'm rushing, or I am just doing it for the sake of getting one out. So please understand that it's not because we can't be bothered. It's just that when I post episodes, I want to do it to the best of my ability. And today's episode, I am filming outside in my home in Singapore. So if you hear some weird jets or some background noise, I'm really sorry about that, but hopefully we're back in the Durham studio, everything will be working as it was before. So first of all, I'm gonna do my rack track, and today it is Adrenaline Rush by Sigma Morgan. Sigma Common Morgan. It's actually a remix between two really good songs. I love it. And I've been doing a bit more running recently, kind of trying to ease myself back into it, because I do have the London Marathon this April coming up. So prep for that has been well underway, as well as the Royal Park Half Marathon, which is taking place early October. So I've been really trying to get back into it. Obviously, my back isn't it is fully healed in terms of everything I could do, but I'm still taking things a bit easy in terms of like intensity and training load, purely because you can't go from 0 to 100, as we know. So I found that quite difficult, but at the same time, it's taught me a lot about myself, and I actually wanted to share this. So my win of the week, which I'm gonna take as win of the whole freaking year, has been, I actually did lose my period when I went through a really bad time with food and exercise. And that was from around 2020 to 2023. So I didn't have my period. I wasn't menstruating properly for 3 years, until I did take, obviously, that 5 months off exercise, whereby I actually did get my period back, which was a huge, huge monumental moment for me, and kind of really realigned me with myself to know that I am my happiest and healthiest self at the moment. And it's been so interesting to learn about how I can train when I'm on my cycle, and the 28-day rotation, and how to optimize training when I'm doing cardio, when it's best to do weight training, what to eat during different phases of your cycle, where you should have more high fat diet, more carbohydrate based diet. It's very, very interesting. So I'll definitely do a podcast on that, but I don't want to preach anything until I'm kind of in the swing of things again. And I can only speak from my experience, but that was a huge win for me in terms of knowing that my body is where it needs to be right now. And that's kind of where I'm gonna begin this episode. So recently, I've been on holiday in Indonesia for about a month, which has been insane. I've had the best time. I went to Canggu with my family for 10 days, and then two of my best mates came along with me, which was super fun. And then we went all around Indonesia. So we went to Canggu, we went to Ubud, we went to Gili Tea, we did Nusa Lembongan, and then we finished up in Uluwatu back on mainland Bali. So It was literally the trip of a lifetime, but along with this meant that I was in a bikini 24/7. Like, you don't really wear anything else other than when you go to dinner. So this was huge for me because I haven't done this in my new so-called body yet. And in my new body, it looks very different to my old body. And my old body can be described as one that wasn't so healthy, was quite thin, and it basically strived. I lived with the main purpose a few years ago to be the smallest version of myself. And I still wasn't happy with my body back then. And I was, looking back on pictures, very, very thin, very unhealthy, very worn, very tired, very cranky. But still, at that smaller size, I still wanted to be smaller. So I now look at my body today and I look in the mirror sometimes and I'm like, nah, I'm not feeling myself. This is not what I used to look like. But I'm kind of going to speak today about weighing out the pros and cons with being in this new body. And there isn't many cons, I can't lie. So yeah, I may be a little bit bigger, and that is in comparison to my old self. I am a very, and I have to remind myself this a lot, a very young, healthy individual who has shape to her body and does have a little bit of excess, you know, skin here and there, but, and cellulite and stretch marks, but these are things that we all have and we should all kind of learn to love, because this is what makes our body our home. So some days I would wake up in Bali and look in the mirror and go, and I don't do this very often anymore as well. I think that's a huge thing to know. I don't look at myself in the mirror all the time because I tend to base my happiness that day of what I look like. And something I need to remind myself, and something I've been journaling a lot, is that I shouldn't let my body ruin my day, because my body is something that is ever changing, whether that be when I have water and I bloat, whether that be if I'm on my period and that means I also bloat, whether that means I wake up in the morning and I look a bit leaner because I haven't eaten yet. So your body is something that's ever changing, and I feel like there's a really warped perception these days that we rely on it for happiness, and it's something that is ever changing. So how can we rely on the consistency of something for happiness when our body is one of the most inconsistent things? It changes. Our stomach looks bigger. Sometimes our boobs look a little bit bigger. Sometimes our boobs look a little bit smaller. I just don't want to continue to waste my time and waste a lot of significant cognitive space worrying about my body. It's, someone once said, I remember a TikTok, and it was like, don't waste your time, don't waste your life's purpose worrying about your body. It's your vessel, it's your house, it's who you are. And by constantly caring so much about, I don't know, trying to lose weight or trying to consistently be smaller and be in this calorie deficit, you lose sight of the current moment, and you can continue to like just focus on all things that will contribute to looking that little bit smaller or a little bit healthier. And this is from a perspective of people that are in a very healthy weight range and don't need to lose weight. Not from, there's other situations where there is an epidemic these days of obesity, and in that case losing weight is like almost for a healthy purpose. But I can guarantee a lot of the women listening to this podcast are perfect. Some people are thinner, some people are bigger. That doesn't determine your worth. That doesn't determine that you should, just because someone looks a little bit smaller, that means you have to be like them. Everyone is unique and perfect in their own way. And if we all looked the same, I don't know how all of us would be married and attract different life partners, if you know what I mean. So one of the things that I found when I was trying to chase this smaller version of myself is that I really lost sight of enjoying life and living in the moment. I was kind of watching my life go by and not really living it. So some things that you realized was that I wasn't enjoying exercise classes for what they were, for being able to move my body, really value movement, value the endorphins that it released, value the dopamine, everything like that, which I value now. I was watching my watch. I was looking at how many calories I would burn. I was looking at my heart rate. I would not rest in between sets. I would be jumping up and down to try and burn as many calories as possible. And I hated it. I come up, every exercise class I'd finish went, oh, I feel amazing. But my body was so worn and tired. I wouldn't wake up and be excited to exercise because of the way it made me feel. I would be excited to exercise because I knew that I would burn this many calories and eventually lose this much weight, and chasing this tiny version of myself that, again, was never good enough. Another thing that I tended to do, which I'm sure some people could relate with, is I analyzed menus before, days before I knew I was going out. I would be looking at the menu and I would try to find the lowest calorie thing I could find, because I knew that that wouldn't detriment any progress or the journey I was on, when in reality, I was chasing a journey that was only making me a worse version of myself. And when I would arrive at restaurants, I'd continue to look at these calorific values online and on MyFitnessPal. And I was disengaging from quality conversations just to check these stupid nutrient values. That means I'm never going to get that time back when I sat at a dinner table with my grandparents and I was sitting with my family before I went to university for my last meal until I would see them for 6 months. I was so focused on what I was going to eat to make sure I was the smallest version of myself that I don't even remember that dinner to this day, because I was so not present, which is a huge shame. So if you're kind of realizing that these are kind of patterns that you're picking up, like, start now, start making conscious efforts to change these behaviors, because there is no better time than the now to change you to be the best version of yourself and the healthiest version of yourself. Something else I would say, looking back, is that going on, I don't know, long walks during family holidays or when I'm at home, and I remember I was just before I went to university that summer, I would go on really long walks for around an hour and a half to 2 hours a day, and I wouldn't be able to spend time with my sister, who I wasn't going to see for ages, or my dad, who works a lot, and I would be late to dinner because I was still on these walks. And, like, don't get me wrong, my parents made such a conscious effort to try and speak to me in the least kind of condescending and pressuring way, because I was 20 years old. I was old enough to make my own decisions. Were they the right ones? No, but my parents couldn't force me to do anything because I was in such a state of in denial. So these long walks that I would lose sight of the quality time, I just would miss out on family time that you're never going to get back. It's the same with the family dinners, that you're disengaging and thinking of all these things. And this is just time that's so vulnerable that you'll never get back. I'd also say, in terms of body image, one of the main things that triggered me was the comparison trap. And I found myself comparing every aspect of my physical appearance to those around me, which takes you into a spiral of unhappiness. You're never going to look exactly the same as an Instagram model or one of your friends because of genetics, because of your basal metabolic rate, because of so many different things that alter your physical appearance, because of your, I don't know, the way your body takes in water. Some people, it goes right through and it doesn't result in any form of bloat. Some people it does. It's very different. So I found, upon reflection, that the fact that I was comparing every single part of my body, my thighs, my wrists, my fingers, my stomach, to other people, you're never going to be like someone else. It's great to look at others for potential motivation in the gym, and I'd love to look that strong, or I'd love to, you know, have that type of
I don't know, upper body strength and have the biceps that she has, that's great. But that's something to strive for in terms of strength. There's no... I just don't find the comparison trait to be in any way, shape or form helpful when it is a desire to look a certain way, because you tend to also become quite judgmental of others in terms of the comparison trap. It isn't just what your body looks like. I found myself comparing my running distance times, my pace, how their legs look when they run, what they're eating when they eat, and it turns you into a spiral of like worry about who and what you're doing, and you kind of don't always see the good in people, and you end up just judging them because really you're insecure, and this fuels a cycle of negativity which doesn't make you a very nice person to be around either. And I always find if you give good, you get good. And the more judgmental thoughts that you surround your mind with, it's like manifestation, right? Like, you keep saying, I don't know, for example, when I wanted to get into my university, I kept saying to myself and writing it down, I know it sounds silly, but I will get into this university, etc., etc. And the more that I had that on my mind, due to the consistent thought about it, the harder I worked, because subconsciously I knew that's where I wanted to be. Same with the comparison trap. If you're continuously surrounding yourself with thoughts about I'm not good enough, I need to look like this, I don't know, their running pace isn't very good, like mine's better, or oh, I ate less than that today, or things like that, it fuels a really toxic cycle eventually that is really, really hard to get out of. It's a long process to break out of, and it isn't easy, but the only person that can inevitably make the change is you. And this is done in small and incremental steps. Like, for example, this can be compared to running at the moment. So for me, I can't go from running 2km to running a marathon, right? To guarantee the success of running that 42 kilometers, you must put a plan in place and actively practice this plan to reach your end goal. You're not going to just run 2K and then 5K and reach 42. You have to build up that plan. You have to do deload weeks. You have to be set back in your plan sometimes. But that's all part of the journey. And I always say small steps lead to big results. And yeah, it might take a little bit longer, but it's so worth it in the end. And don't get me wrong with this comparison trap. Social media doesn't help it at all. Girls with desirable bodies on our For You pages and on our fitness pages who look incredible, I could do the exact same exercise regime as half of those fitness influencers out there, which I do. I exercise around 5 times a week. I eat pretty well. I have a balanced lifestyle. I enjoy things. And I look nothing like a lot of the fitness influencers who are these really lean, toned individuals that don't have to run for 2 months and then can do a 10K tomorrow. Like, that is them, and I can't get caught up in comparing myself to them because I'm different and I'm so content in the way that I live my life. I can go out for drinks on a Thursday night and I can wake up in the morning and be like, yeah, I feel like going for a run, and if I don't, I don't. I'm so content with that part and that journey that I'm on at the moment that I don't compare myself to them and say I wish I was like that, because I don't know what they do in their free time. I don't know if they can go out for drinks every night. I don't know if they're happy and complacent with that. Only they can know that. But I found that I can admire someone, but there is no point in comparing anymore because we're all different, and social media is such a morphed place. I met this girl at a pub actually, and she has a fitness social media page, and she's been invited to influencer events and things. And girls, no hate, no judgment, but girls that are just sitting on one drink all night, who are pretty miserable, don't really want to converse, and aren't really a joy to be around, their social media pages look like they're living the life, apparently, but in reality, they're not very fun people to be around. So I think being complacent, happy, and confident within you your current state is the key to success and key to really escaping that comparison trap. I used to strive to align my lifestyle, my food, my exercise to these girls, but the reality is that our bodies are different and our genes are different. And for example, I have friends that don't like to exercise and they aren't too fussed about ensuring they maintain a balanced diet and they have a plate full of fats, carbs, and protein. If they have chicken nuggets and chips sometimes, which we all have, some people will have that. I know girls at uni that have that every single day just because they're not really concerned about, you know, their balanced diet. They're living how they want to live and they enjoy sitting down and doing nothing in their free time. They, to the eye, could be identified as, I have friends that do this and are a lot smaller than me, but then we're told that eating chicken nuggets and chips every day aren't healthy. So you see how what we know and the current knowledge isn't always aligned to what they are, what the reality is. I'm someone that likes being busy, exercises regularly, and eats pretty well, and I don't look as small as them, but this is a prime example that your body does not define you, and you can't judge people for what they do. Your body is something that takes care of you, and it's a vessel that we only have one of, and we have to learn to nourish and admire it, because for us girls, it allows us, when healthy, to eventually have babies, eventually make a family, look after a child for 9 months. Like, the human body is just incredible, and our primary aim in life is not to be the smallest version of ourselves, because you start to live to chase an unrealistic and unhealthy, unachievable version of yourself. So when I was my smallest, I was the unhappiest person I have known myself to be. I was the unhealthiest person ever, and I was the smallest person, and I still hated my body. It was never good enough for the wolf perception of what my mind desired. So the days when I wake up unhappy with my body today, still bloated from a big dinner last night, I have to remind myself that this is where I am at, and this is my part of the journey. There is never an end point for the journey, as the odds are, when I get there, it still won't be good enough. When I was my smallest, it still wasn't good enough. So why am I going to live today to try and be this one version of myself that I won't even acknowledge when I'm there, because I'll still be chasing something else? So I've had to learn that I have to appreciate the vessel that is my body, because this allows me to reach personal best. It allows me to train hard. It allows me to eat loads of delicious foods from around the world that aren't always healthy, but I'm able to metabolize food efficiently. That gives me energy to interact, to exercise, and converse with people, all of which I could never do if my body was the smallest. So, yeah, I'd say when I compare the two, at my smallest I weighed less, but I was never present. I was always thinking of my next meal. I was always calculating calories. I was moody. I was infertile, and I didn't enjoy any time with my family. I avoided any social occasion that involved food or alcohol because I was scared. I was scared of what it would do to my body. But now I'm doing all of those things, and I'm living my life, and I've never been happier. So I did all these things to what looks small. And if you go into a room, okay, it's human nature that forces us to gravitate towards people that have the best vibe, smile, personality, not who looks the smallest or the most toned or the most fit. So we have to kind of go back and reflect and weigh out the opportunity costs. So, yes, you could be the smallest version of yourself, but miss out at drinks and sunset, your best mate's 21st birthday, spontaneity of a family meal, making memories that literally will last a lifetime. So I just say, if you're contemplating taking the leap and realizing that some of the things in this podcast do align to you, do it, because your future self will thank you. and there's nothing more that I can recommend is diving in the deep end. Go to that acai place and get extra Lotus Biscoff cream. Get peanut butter. Have a banana and peanut butter. That's double carbs. When we climbed the mountain in Indonesia, which was incredible, at the top we got given white bread with smashed banana inside. Yeah, that's double carbs to someone that analyzes their meal, but oh my gosh, it was amazing. And it will be a memory that I'll remember forever because all my friends and I sat around watching the sunrise on this mountain, eating banana sandwiches, sugary coffee, hot chocolate, and it was just such a surreal moment that I just had to sit back and reflect and go, oh my God, look how far I have come. Because I climbed that mountain a year ago and I analyzed every single thing that our mountain guide gave me on that plate. But this year, it was a pretty surreal experience to just go and travel and enjoy foods from different cultures, do a cooking class and not have to overthink. And if this sounds like something that you think that you want to be able to do and you're not there yet, small steps. Like, it's a small steps at marathon. If you're at 2K right now, try 3K tomorrow. And have a bit of extra rice with your meal. And it's about doing things and stepping out of your comfort zone to look back and go, it's not that bad. I don't look that different. Because if you're, for example, I just think your future self will thank you, because to this day, amongst moving countries for uni, job opportunities that I've been given, taking that leap and stepping out of my comfort zone to become more comfortable in life is the best decision I chose to make. I got my life back. I could bond with people over the food I love. I could talk about exercise with my friends and family without people worrying about me. And most importantly, I've also started a new journey on helping people break this toxic cycle and change the narrative that recovery and coming back from this illness is possible. And both Molly and I are living, breathing, and thriving examples of this. And it's made me so passionate about potential jobs in the future and making sure that there are protocols in place to backlash this horrible mindset and toxic cycle that is, unfortunately, especially young girls' life at the moment. And don't blame yourself for it. There's no one to blame. You can't blame yourself. But the only person that can make a change is you. And it's made me the strongest individual I've ever been. But also, it's made me very thankful for my body and how I operate and how I work. And it's taught me to not be too hard on myself. And that every day is different. But I'm alive, I'm healthy, I'm able to have a family. And life's pretty good. So that's my deep, meaningful conversation on this very fine Wednesday. But I'm so, Tuesday, sorry. But I'm so, so, so glad to be back. And I'm more passionate than ever. I have a month until I go back to uni. And so I hope I put out some great content for you all. Please message me at PazCoolFuel or at grow.withmol if you have any questions or anything you want to get off your chest. Think of us as your friends. We're here for you. Anything you're going through, we've probably been there. We probably will go there. We probably will be there. We're all a lot more similar than you think. And we'd love to be your friends or big sisters, whatever you feel like. We're always here for you. And think of this podcast as your safe space. So have the best week ahead. Do something that will challenge you today or tomorrow and get out of that comfort zone because it's only going to make you better. Right, that's it from me. Happy Tuesday and see you next week. Bye.